Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance.
Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Neil Paterson's unusual story, The China Run.
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. The delicious, long-lasting, real mint flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The good, smooth chewing helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Wrigley's Spearmint. Refreshing. Delicious.
Now, with Peggy Weber starred as Jane West, here is the first act of The China Run.
Let me tell you, the sound of the sea is a wonderful thing. Maybe there's a sonnet sweeter than the wind in an arching sail, but I don't know it. There may be a symphony grander than wild waves lashing, but I've never heard it. There is no lovelier sound than a bellboy in the bay when the sailor comes home from the sea. This is what I've heard, and I think it's true.
Come in.
Good evening, Father.
Good evening, Father.
Come in. You too, Jane. Although I didn't expect you. I wanted to see my son.
And I'm only a daughter. Nice to know I'm accepted. Even if I am a woman.
A woman? A child of 16 and she's
called herself... That's enough, James. I want to talk to you.
I know, Father.
You know.
It's been the same these past 10 years, ever since I was 20. You come home for a month, I do believe, only to talk me into shipping out with you.
But, James, I...
And the night before you sail, you try again, just like tonight. Really, Father, it's a bore.
Then it's no use?
Of course not, Father. I don't know why you persist.
Because I'm a seaman, I guess. I'm master of a ship, a good ship. I want my son to succeed me after I...
You're so sentimental, Father. But someone must stay ashore to tend the ship's business.
You prefer a London counting house to a sailing ship?
A sailing ship is like a jail, with a chance of getting drowned. And a sailor? Well, a sailor's a beast of burden.
There's nothing I can say.
Good night, Father. I'll see you tomorrow before you sail.
Father?
Yes, Jane.
Father, I want to go with you.
Yes. What?
I want to go to sea.
You... But you can't, Jane. You're a girl.
It's 1845, Father. The world no longer belongs exclusively to its males.
The hazards are too great aboard a cargo ship. I have no facilities for passengers.
I have no intention of being a passenger.
Oh, but...
I mean to be a sailor.
Jane, you're a girl.
I'm as good as any man and better than some.
Your brother now. I can't make him go to sea.
You can't make me stay ashore.
I think the storms, the discomfort...
I want to go to sea.
The sickness and death.
I've got to go to sea.
But the China Coast pirate...
I must, Father, I must.
I'll be a laughing stock if Tansy McCoy finds out.
Who's Tansy McCoy?
A miserable Yankee. The vilest skipper on the China Run.
Sounds like a competitor.
He's the rankest man that ever offended my nostrils.
Why worry about him?
All right, but...
No more buts, Father.
But... What will my crew say?
Let me tell you, the crew said plenty. The crew of a windjammer is always wet and always numb from lack of sleep, for the wind and the weather wait for no man, and sails are constantly changed. The work on a windjammer is endless, But the men find time to talk and talk and talk.
Leave alone, and that's what it is. A woman aboard.
It wouldn't have happened on a Yankee ship.
Fancy a Yank like Tansy McCoy suffering a lady aboard.
More like a witch she is, standing on the lee side of the poop.
Aye, bosun. But an handsome witch.
Aye. Then always we a question.
Well, she'd better ask questions. She don't know her head from her nail.
But she will. She will. Her tongue is sharp and it's shaped like a question mark.
She should be ashore and married.
You're the kind of man she needs gonna be found ashore. She needs a man like Tracy McCoy. He'd answer that question.
Bosun? Bosun? Bosun?
Yes?
I've been watching the wind in the lower main top gallant sail and the upper main top sail.
The studding sails, ma'am. The mate gallant and the mate topsail form the studding sails.
Yes. Anyway, they're always shredded at the lip. Why couldn't they be reinforced?
Reinforced, ma'am? With what?
You tried wax? If you wax the yarn, might not cut the sail.
Aye, but who has wax?
We have tallow dipped in the lamps, might try that.
Hmm. Aye, ma'am. I think I might.
Aye. The crew had plenty to say. And so had the ship's officer.
Mistress West is uncommon handy about the ship.
Aye, Mr. Jordan. Even in weather.
Aye, Mr. Hammond. Even in petticoats. Wait till Tansy McCoy gets a look at him.
Don't worry about McCoy. Just worry about your Bertha's second mate. I believe she's after it.
Begging your pardon, sir, but she's after bigger game. Your berth as first mate.
Nonsense. It takes years to master navigation alone. Even I have much to learn about navigation.
You passed her cabin this morning, and I happened to glance through the porthole. See, she was reading.
A novel, I suppose. Some fluffy, romantic novel.
She was reading the memoirs of...
A French actress?
A British admiral, called Advanced Principles of Navigation.
Evening, Captain. Mr. West.
Evening.
Gentlemen, please be seated. What do we have for supper tonight?
The same as we had for dinner.
Cold harness beef and black bread.
This is preposterous. Why, George Simpson is the best cook ever to sail with me.
He was, sir.
You talk like he's dead.
Yeah, he will be soon. He came down with smallpox this morning.
Oh, he's in considerable pain. Blisters have already appeared in the soles of his feet.
Well, get a razor and cut them off. That's the usual procedure, is it not?
Well, it is for anyone but George Simpson. He won't let us near him.
Oh, he's a giant of a man, sir.
I'm aware of his stature, Mr. Jordan.
But he's in a corner of the forecastle with a belaying pin in one hand and his own razor in the other. He's promised to use them on the first man who comes near.
Yeah, man, that obstinate deserves to die.
Father?
Yes, my dear.
May I be excused?
Yes, of course, of course.
I'm sorry, sir. My stock of smallpox and blisters and razors were perhaps too strong for Mistress West.
If she wants a sailor's life, she must get used to sailor's talk. Still, she is a little more...
Simpson? Simpson.
What do you have there?
Bolt of canvas. Going to measure you for shroud. Now all we need is the sinker.
Miss, I don't want to die.
You're going to, Simpson. Then we'll drop you over the side and the fishes will eat you.
No! Oh. Miss, you cut off the soles of my feet.
Then give me a razor, Simpson. Yeah. Thank you.
Just you let me holler, miss, because I don't hold with pain.
It'll be painless. Just let me have your belaying pin.
Yeah.
That's right. Simpson, I'm going to tap you on the head with it, lightly. Just hard enough to keep you from feeling the pain. Now, whenever you're ready.
Go ahead, miss.
All right, Simpson. Let me tell you, That day was long remembered. And the men gathered round the scuttlebutt. They talked of it with wonder.
She's yar, that girl. And a demon with a baleen pin. Hey, Simpson?
A blind fish sailor, she is. I'm that proud of the lump of me head. Looks like a decoration.
Oh, but she's done the decorate. Guts she's got. There's salt water in her veins.
And so they talked. All of them, that is, save Mr. Hammond. He was soon to learn.
What's the reading, Mr. Hammond?
Right on, sir.
Then we make Borneo by morning.
Yes, sir. If I may say so, it takes the longitude correct to a hair's breadth. And in the gale, with one star poking out of the cloud bank for not more than 3 seconds. You have, sir, a genius for precise navigation.
I'm sorry to disabuse you, Mr. Hammond, but the calculations were made by me daughter. Good evening, sir, and enjoy your shore leave in Borneo.
Let me tell you, there's nothing so wondrous strange as your first leave in a foreign port. And there's no port so strange as Borneo, where 30-foot snakes and 6-foot anteaters and deer no bigger than jackrabbits wander into town to look at the people. And the people themselves have certain quirks, like bathing every day.
Stay close to me now, ma'am. It's a rough crowd in a port like this.
Really, Mr. Jordan, I can manage without your protection.
Your father's orders, ma'am.
Nonsense. I've got my belaying pin.
Sorry, Mistress West.
And the sounds of Borneo are strange. The tiny deer I mentioned before have a habit of barking like dogs. And a Burmese man plays a bamboo flute. Fact of no interest whatsoever, except that he plays it with his nose. But the strangest sound of all came from an outdoor saloon. Who's that?
That's Captain Tansy McCoy.
Who is this Captain Tansy McCoy?
I don't rightly know. Some say he's wild and dissolute, like little better than a pirate. And some say he's the finest Yankee skipper that ever drove a ship.
And what do you say, Mr. Jordan?
All I know is he carries a cannon mounted on the forepeak.
He sees us. He's coming toward us.
Well.
And who, sir, are you staring at?
Lady, sir. Lady. Ooh. And a trim ship she is. And she looks to be running free.
That's enough, sir. One more insult and I'll be forced.
You're forcing me. First. Now, my pretty lass.
Take another step.
Oh,
can I...
how I love lass with juice and growl.
I'm warning you.
Worn away. Oh, now you wouldn't hit me with that blame pin.
Of course I wouldn't. And that's what happened, Father.
What about Mr. Jordan?
I left him with some missionaries. His jaw was broken.
And McCoy?
I left him on the ground. I think I might have killed him.
Good riddance. What did I do for a second mate?
Father, I'd like Mr. Jordan's berth.
I don't know.
You do know.
I wonder.
You know I can handle it.
Of course you can. But I wonder if you didn't plan it all. Just to get Jordan's berth.
Let me tell you, there's no prouder luck than those who follow the sea. And the proudest time of all is the time of your first command, especially with the challenge of a race. Thompson! Topside starboard!
All right, sir. Ma'am. I'm begging your pardon.
It's all right, Thompson. You'll get used to it.
Mistress West, that ship up the Sound Quarter is still coming up fast.
Let the helm drop off another point.
Aye, aye, sir.
What's the commotion, James?
Ship, Father. Take a look through the telescope.
Yankee clipper.
With a cannon on the forepiece. It's Tansy McCoy's ship.
Well, if it's a race they want, we'll give it to them. Burson! Loose the cannon! Loose the cannon!
Yank's still gaining, Father.
Sergeant Gantry said more sailing into the Royal.
Captain, we've set everything we've got excepting the second mate's petticoat.
No use, Father. It's hard upon us. Turn alongside.
He's after trouble. He's going to find it.
McCoy, Father, I didn't kill him after all.
Speak up, you Yankees! Come, Captain West! I want to marry your daughter!
Never! Not for £1,000!
Too much, Captain West! But I'll give you $100!
Why, you bloody...
Therefore, Captain, you lady aboard! He is a virgin!
For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. When your mouth feels dry, when you're warm or tired, Wrigley's Spearmint is really refreshing. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste, and the chewing itself gives you a little lift. Helps you feel your best and do your best. So for chewing enjoyment plus pleasant refreshment, chew delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. And now for the second act of The China Run as we return to romance.
Let me tell you about the Philippines. More than 7,000 islands falling like spilt pepper into the China Sea. Sort of an interesting place, where a lot of people prefer roast dog or fried locust to any delicacy you could name. It's a place where nobody looks at an orchid, possibly because more than 900 varieties grow wild. In Manila, they make the world's best spittoons and go to a university called Santo Tomas, which was founded in 1585, a half century before Harvard. Aye, Manila's an interesting sort of place. But it was there that the trouble began.
Burton, secure that cargo line before somebody gets hurt.
Aye, aye, sir.
Not like that. Let me show you.
Careful, sir. That mahogany timber's heavy on the pig iron.
All the more reason for safety, Burton.
But then fire!
Captain West. Oh, easy, man. Your father's hurt. He's hurt bad.
Mistress West.
Yes, Miss Hannah?
The cargo's been stored, Mistress West. I checked the manifest myself.
Very good, sir. You hired a third officer?
I did. An Englishman on the beach 2 years and happy to catch a berth home.
You've been a great help, Mr. Hammond.
I'd like to do more, Mistress West. Much more.
Mr. Hammond, since my father's death, there's no longer a reason for your calling me Mistress West.
Oh, I've been wanting to call you Jane for a long while.
You're jumping to conclusions. Please address me as Captain West.
Captain?
I'm taking command of the ship.
But I have a master's papers and seniority. I'm the first officer.
And you shall continue to be so, as long as you carry out your duties. Now set the watch, Mr. Hammond. We're sailing for Fu Chau.
Aye, aye, Captain West.
Now, Fu Chau is a river port, rich and stinking. The stench comes from the River Ming, from the mortal remains of merchants murdered and consigned to a wet grave by the river pirates. Its wealth comes from the illustrious tea of the hinterland. All day long, the buffalo trains converge on the city, bearing tea in lacquered chests. And all day long, among the reefs and the shallows, the pirates wait for a likely ship. What is it?
Mr. Hammond's compliments, ma'am. He'll like you on deck at once.
Very well. What now, Mr. Hammond? Huh?
That ship off stern. It's Tansy McCoy, just like 2 weeks ago.
This time, Mr. Hammond, the result will be different. I mean to clue up and send Fu Chau before him.
Captain West, this ship cannot outsail a Baltimore clipper.
We won't outsail him, Mr. Hammond. We'll outsmart him. We'll bear toward shore as we round the cape, half the distance.
But the pirates, Take the cargo and hold you for ransom.
You afraid, Miss Hammond?
Listen to me. I served once with a captain whose wife they took. They finally returned her, finger by finger.
I'll worry about my fingers if you'll proceed with my command.
Aye, Captain West.
We're holding our lead.
That's small consolation, Captain West. Look forward up the bow.
Miss Junk?
24 of them. Each manned by 20 men. They're pirates, Captain West, and they're heading for us.
Swing back to mid-channel.
We can't get by them. Four more minutes and they'll be aboard.
They'll never take it.
Closing in now.
We'll ram them.
It won't help. Nothing will help.
It's Mackay!
Teas and all, and everything's squared away.
Well, then I think I'll take a look at Fu Chow. I might not be back for supper.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Mr. Hammond, perhaps you can direct me to the King Henry.
Go right up.
Mistress West?
Yes?
Please accept my condolences for your father, Mistress West. I am at your service, sir. If there's anything I can...
Who are you, sir?
Oh, Barron's the name. George Barron, local agent for the ship. And now, if you'll permit me, I have business with your captain. Who is your captain, Mrs. West?
I am.
Oh, I see, I see. I beg your pardon.
I said I'm the master of the ship.
But a girl like you, you obviously don't have master's papers.
No.
Then the insurance will be revoked, and the cargo will be jeopardized. Well, the ship must be handed over to the first officer immediately.
Don't tell me how to run my ship, Mr. Barron.
I'll tell you this, madam. Unless your first officer takes over immediately, I shall notify the British consul, and you'll not get clearance papers. You'll rot in Fu Chow till your command is confirmed by London. And that will never happen. Good day.
You were asking me about the King Henry, Captain West.
Belay that, Mr. Hammond. We're sailing.
Sailing? But you heard what he said.
We're sailing immediately for London. Let me tell you, it's a sorry thing laying a ship to harbor for the last time. Never again to go down to the sea in a British ship.
But it's impossible. Preposterous.
James, it wasn't impossible. I brought the ship home.
Without papers, without clearance. Oh, what a risk.
I could get master's papers with your consent.
Perhaps. But there are other considerations. You risked your reputation and our good name to dally with some Yankee skipper.
I did not.
You were to meet him in Fu Chow.
So Hammond's been talking.
And you risked the cargo with pirates by racing the Yank up the Ming. I am afraid the Admiralty would consider you an unfit person to represent the Crown on a trade ship. And you're a girl, Jane.
I'm a woman.
But a woman cannot hold a position of authority over men. It's against nature.
And so it went. Months of wrangling. Months of sitting by the window in silence. Watching the gulls and the ships and the Thames. Plenty of time to remember the things that could never be forgotten. There was Jordan, the second mate.
Mistress West is uncommon handy about ship.
And Simpson, the cook, giant of man.
A flying fish sailor, she is.
And the boatswain who taught us studding sails.
Aye, yes, yar, that girl. And a demon with a belaying pin.
and Tansy McCoy. A wild and dissolute man.
Trim ship she is. And she looks to be running free.
Then one day in September... Yes?
My compliments, Captain West.
Captain McCoy.
I waited for you in Fuchao. You never came.
I know.
Then I learned the reason, Captain West. So I came to you 5,000 miles to the log.
Isn't that wonderful?
There's just one thing, Captain West. There's only one master of my ship. That's me.
Yes, Captain McCoy.
But I'd be proud to make you mistress of it.
Captain McCoy.
I could use a good first mate who's handy with a belaying pin. Captain West, will you marry me?
I... Tansy!
Oh, Jane, my darling.
Let me tell you, the sound of the sea is a wonderful thing. And the wind in an arching sail is sweet. But not half so sweet as the soft words spoken by the man you love. This is what I've heard. And now I know it sure. Sure as my name is Mrs. Tansy McCoy.
Remember, friends, for refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, real mint flavor in it to cool your mouth, freshen your taste, and sweeten your breath. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, at work or play, always keep delicious Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum handy. For refreshment while you work, for enjoyment anytime, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard The China Run by Neil Paterson, specially adapted for romance by Millard Kaufman, starring Peggy Weber and John Daner. Featured in the cast were Jay Novello, John Stevenson, Lou Krugman, Ben Wright, Paul Fries, Lamont Johnson, Bruce Payne, and John O'Malley. Editorial supervision is by John Meston and musical supervision by Alexander Courage. Next week, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the chewing treat enjoyed by millions, we'll bring you another story enjoyed by millions. Prosper Mérimée's exciting classic, Colomba. Be sure to listen to Romance next week when the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Colomba. This is Bob Stevenson speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.